Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and right to our phone callers. First up today, Roger in Salida, California. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. And I have a quick, I think it's a quick question. Someone asked me this, and I don't know how to respond to them. And basically, they asked me if God is timeless, or is he sort of infinite throughout time? And, you know, I've been pondering it for a while, and I just don't know how to answer it, because I believe God is timeless. However, I also believe that God works in time, but I don't know how to reconcile that, because, you know, you come up with all sorts of hard philosophical questions. You know, for instance, if God is timeless, how can God be in a now moment type of thing, so on and so forth. So I was hoping you might be able to lead me in the right direction on maybe some good resources or what you thought.
You're absolutely right. God is eternal. Everything you said, I think, is correct. God is eternal. He's not temporal. He is beyond time. He created time. In fact, the whole notion that we have from a biblical perspective is that God created ex nihilo, or out of nothing, not only all matter and energy, but space and time as well. But the whole matter of time does raise very deep philosophical questions. And in addition to that, I think you're very correct in suggesting that God can insert himself in time. The classic example, of course, is in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but we see God inserting himself into the historical narrative in places such as when the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. So yes, time is one of those things. It's kind of like matter. We still have a hard time in an age of scientific enlightenment fully codifying what matter consists of, what matter is, what solidity actually represents, and so forth. So it does raise very deep philosophical questions.
So if I may just follow up. So when we say, as Christians, when we say eternity, and that we're going to live eternally with Christ, I guess, what do we mean by that? Does that mean that there's going to be an infinite amount of time, like dates, that will just go on and on? Or does that mean that we too will live out of the realm of time? What do we mean when we say that we'll eternally live with Christ?
That means that our existence will never end. It will continue to go on. I actually deal with this in the Creation Answer book. I explain how time works there, but it means that we will continue to live with God, I think, in much the same kind of a way as we experience time in the present. In other words, it meets us into the present and then recedes into the past. But in this sense, we are going to learn and grow and develop, albeit without error, as forever we explore the glory and grandeur of God's created handiwork and the glory and grandeur of God himself. So we will not be omniscient. As time progresses, we will learn more and more about the very one who created us, created all things, and the one who himself saved us by his grace.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And so would that mean the Trinity would still have a function in eternity? Because obviously Jesus is still flesh, and he will continue to be. He won't need to be crucified again, of course. And then the Holy Spirit lives in us now. fills us now, and every day we ask for them to empower us. And when we get to heaven, will that function and role of the Trinity still continue? Or what will our relationship be in that sense?
Yes, yes. I mean, the Trinity will never change, which is to say, there's always going to be one God in terms of nature and essence. There are always going to be three in terms of person, and that has to do with identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. Jesus Christ will forever be theanthropos. In other words, he took on an additional nature, so he's one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. But when we use such words as the Holy Spirit being in us, we need to be very careful to explain what we mean by those words. So to say that the Holy Spirit is in you is not to point out where the Holy Spirit is from a physical position, but rather it is to acknowledge that you and I have come into intimate, personal relationship with him through faith and repentance. The point here is the preposition in is not a locational but a relational term. So when Jesus says the Father is in me and I in the Father, he's not speaking of physical location. He's speaking of intimacy of relationship.
Would that be much like when I tell my wife I'm in love with you? I'm just speaking of the relationship.
Yes, it is a relational and not a locational term. So, for example, according to the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is not a physical being. Therefore, to ask where the Holy Spirit is in the first place would be to confuse categories. In other words, asking spatial questions about a being who does not have extension in space makes about as much sense as asking what the color blue tastes like. And this is what King Solomon revealed. The wisest man who ever lived revealed the utter futility of believing that the infinite Holy Spirit can be physically contained in any finite space, let alone the human body. Remember when he said, "Will God really dwell on the earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built for you."
Wow. All right. Well, thank you again, Hank Anagraff, and I pray for you, and I pray for CRI, and I'm believing that the Lord will bless CRI with everything that it needs in resource to continue forward, because you guys do proclaim truth, and I appreciate that, and God bless you.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I wrote about the issue of time in my book Afterlife, where I point out the notion of endless time being analogous to time as we presently experience it, moment by moment, event by event. The future greets us in the present and then retreats into the past. In the present, we are yet, of course, captive to the tyranny of the clock or chronos. In eternity, that will not be the case. Kairos, time relative to purpose, will no longer be sabotaged by chronos. In eternity, we will never come to an end of time. Instead, we will ever learn and grow and develop without error, as I mentioned earlier. Again, I wrote about that in Afterlife in response to a question. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Risa, listening in Tennessee. Hi, Risa.
Hey, Hank. Man, what a privilege to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm sitting at my desk looking at the apocalypse code. I buy them and I give them to people. And I really appreciate you and CRI.
Thank you. Bless you.
My question, you had a call about the pastor toting a gun. Well, I'm a deputy sheriff and a pastor, been both for many years. Would you help us here? Because we're having seminars on security, so give me your view on church security and help us out here. Help people that are so scared of guns to kind of know where we're going and what we're up against.
Well, you know, you could probably help me and our audience better than I could help you, because this is a subject that I have confessed on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is not a strong suit for me in the Christian Research Journal is the gun control debate. And in the article, there are two Christian perspectives. The one perspective is given by Michael Austin, and it is why he supports stricter gun laws. And the second person in the debate is a guy named Ron Gleason, and he's giving a reformed Christian perspective on the Second Amendment and guns, and his perspective is to keep and bear arms. And so we not only have each of them giving their position, but then they have a back and forth. And I think in that process, it does give a clearer perspective. But I would say, although I think you could probably add more to the discussion, as I said, that I could, but I do think that, you know, it all depends on your motive for carrying a gun. And you sort of alluded to that in the prologue to the question. Your purpose, it seems, from what you're insinuating, is to protect your sheep.
That's right. We have a privilege and an obligation, and we are responsible for people around us.
I appreciate your call so much. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back.
You thought only religions have dogmas? Think again. Because wokeism has its dogmas, and these dogmas demand obedience, not merely consent. Obey or be canceled. No dissent allowed. The problem is that woke dogmas are a path straight to civilization hell. Because the dogmas of this social disease are so deadly, we've tackled them head-on in an upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. The fact that even historically sane institutions are daily falling victim to this pandementia demonstrates how deceptively dangerous this mental cancer actually is. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. If you're not horrified, you should be. Because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength.
Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up, Mike, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I really don't have a question, but I want to give you a word of encouragement, especially concerning your book about Joel Osteen and the heresy he teaches. I personally believe that this prosperity gospel stuff is probably one of the most heinous and dangerous teachings to hit Christianity in probably centuries. And I may be taking that a little bit too far, but I don't think that I am, because I see a lot of hearts damaged by the teaching, because of the way the whole idea is that it all lies on you and God honors what you have to say. And if you come down with a disease or you're not wealthy, the logical conclusion a person who doesn't know the word very well would have to come to is, then God doesn't really love me. And that can lead to despair, and I believe ultimately to suicide for some people. So I just want to encourage you to continue hammering this nonsense, whether it's Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Joseph Prince, Kenneth Copeland, Andrew Womack, any of these heretical teachers. I just want to encourage you to continue to do that, Hank.
Well, Mike, I appreciate that so much, and I have said something very similar when I've said that if occult sources such as those referenced in books like The Secret pose the greatest threat to the body of Christ from without, the deadly doctrines that are disseminated by prosperity preachers pose the greatest threat to Christianity from within. And to avert that crisis, a paradigm shift of major proportions is desperately needed. It's a shift, ultimately, Mike, from perceiving God as a means to an end to the recognition that He is the end. And I think you said that very, very aptly.
And I also want you to know that when I am financially able, I will make a donation. So I will probably give you guys a call back next week.
Well, bless you, Mike. I thank you so much for your call and your kind words. And I do want to follow up for just a moment on what Mike said. I think change has to come, and it's not going to come easily, because those who are dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose, they occupy powerful platforms within the evangelical community. And they control vast resources, and they stand to lose multiplied millions if they are exposed. In fact, the stakes are so high that those who are plunging Christianity into crisis are willing to do and say virtually anything to silence opposition. And I won't go into the details, but I can tell you that that is true from a personal standpoint. And while Christian leaders who otherwise might be considered Christian statesmen are powerful in certain areas, they're shamefully silent when it comes to identifying wolves among us camouflaged in sheep's clothing. They don't hesitate to blast the secular media or Hollywood entertainment industry. But when it comes to exposing darkness on Christian television and radio, they cower in fear of losing their platforms and the millions of dollars that those forums will provide for them in exchange for free programming or for publicity on networks like Trinity Broadcasting Network. Some of these Christian leaders have gone so far as to provide uncritical, unqualified endorsement for preachers and for programming that clearly confuse, compromise, and contradict the essentials of the historic Christian faith, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. And I understand this to some degree because, quite frankly, every time we have an economic crisis, I think back to the fact that when I say certain things, it hurts the bottom line. And if it hurts the bottom line, then you have to cancel stations, or you can't do all that you feel that God has called you to do. That's the reality. But the fact of the matter is, the Christian faith is not about winning. It's not about being big. It's not about being popular. It's ultimately about being faithful. And you can look at the examples from Scripture. The apostles who were faithful didn't necessarily receive blessings in this world. Paul was shipwrecked and stoned. He was left for dead. But what did he say? Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. More than that, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. At the end of the day, this life, my ministry, Christian Research Institute, it's all temporary. And if we're not faithful with the platform that God gives us, there's no point to it whatsoever. And ultimately, I don't believe that my words are going to create reality, or the marketing will do it, or the politically correct pandering will do it. I believe that God raises up and he brings down and he does it for his own sovereign purposes, and all he asks us to do is to be faithful. In fact, at the end of the day, when the baby dies, and Osteen says words created the realities of life, the truth of the matter is we don't know. We had a preborn baby die. We had a grandbaby die. And quite frankly, God doesn't answer the why question. What he does do, however, is he teaches you to trust him in the midst of his whys. He's given us enough knowledge about himself so we can trust him no matter what. Again, that's why I took the position I did. It's not going to win a popularity contest, but people need this information. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Cheryl, Clarksville, Tennessee. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering what responsibility, if any, do TBN and the other networks have in carrying people like Osteen and Joseph Prince?
Well, they have a huge responsibility. I mean, they're providing a platform for heresy. Not only that, but they are, in fact, purveyors of heresy. And when Paul Crouch was alive, I talked to him directly about that, face to face. And in the end, he said, if God doesn't kill you, I will. And Benny Hinn, who was one of his biggest eyeball attractors, as it were, to the TBN program, said, you've attacked me, your children will pay. On another occasion, he said, if you care for your kids, stop attacking Benny Hinn. You're attacking me on the radio all the time. You will pay, your children will pay. Hear this from the lips of God's servant. You are in danger. And he went on to say, I'm not exactly the normal kind of guy, you know. I'm from Israel. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun, I'd blow your head off. And these are the kinds of things that these people say. Why? Because this is tampering with a huge multi-billion dollar industry. And I'm using the B word advisedly. It's not a multi-million dollar industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. But it is not Christianity. It is a perversion of Christianity. Make no mistake.
Yes. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Shane. Shane is listening in Arkansas. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. I was wanting to know what your thoughts were on process theology.
Well, it's really bad. I mean, you look at the father of process theology. What did he believe in? Panentheism, all in God. The universe is God, but does not exhaust God. All things are in process, and the problem is all things include God. So God himself is in process. He is learning and growing and developing. It is a horrible idea.
So you related to pantheism?
No, panentheism. Pantheism is all is God. Panentheism is all is in God.
Okay. I appreciate it, Hank.
You got it. And, of course, panentheists view God's relationship to the world the way a mind is related to a body. The world is God's body in that sense. The world is dependent on God. But there's also a sense in which God is dependent on the world, therefore. And, of course, this is diametrically opposed to what the Bible teaches. This is something that we can contrast with theism. In theism proper, biblical theism, God is the transcendent creator of everything which is not God, including all matter, all energy, all space, all time. And he is unchanging. He is sovereign over creation. He is hardly learning as he goes along. We're out of time. We'll see you right back here tomorrow with more.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.